What does it take to hate evil? The Bible says a lot about love. God is love. Christians are to love one another. They are also commanded to love their enemies. But the Bible also teaches us to hate evil. That's right. Romans 12 and 9 says, "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." What does it take to hate evil? Can you do it? If we are supposed to love people but yet hate evil, then it seems to me that it might take some work on our part to walk that thin line between those two emotions. What do you think? Do you see what I'm talking about? My question is, what does it take to hate evil? Isaiah 13 verse 11 records where God said, "I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity." Well, all of us have been in that category of iniquity, have we not? We all have practiced iniquity at one time or another. God does not want us to perish, and so He sent His Son to take the world's sin upon Himself and suffer the penalty of separation from God. After Jesus was raised from the dead, Jesus told Mary Magdalene that He had not yet ascended to His Father, John 20, verse 17. Where was He then, those 3 days? Peter said that He was in the Spirit, with the spirits in prison, 1 Peter 3, verse 19. Well, Jesus was experiencing that second death for you and me. You see, that second death, the word death means separation. That second separation is a separation from God. Jesus had never known that in His entire existence. He had never known separation from God. But yet Jesus suffered that separation from God so that you and I and the world would not have to suffer the same fate. In order to take advantage of this salvation, God calls us out of sin. Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you shall perish." Luke 13, verse 3. Well, if we abhor that which is evil, it will help us to stay out of wickedness. Can we do it? What will it take? Well, I believe it takes courage. Courage is defined as the quality of being fearless or brave. Fearless is being unafraid. There are people who are courageous because they are unafraid. But you know, there are people who are courageous in spite of their fear. That's right. They are afraid, but they act bravely. Now that is bravery. So whether we act from fearlessness or bravery, it will take courage for us to hate evil and still love the evildoers. First, it takes courage to accept the challenge. That's right. There are some people who do not believe they can accept the challenge to hate evil because they love evil. They are enjoying what they are doing. It may be that they are getting rich from the evil they are practicing, or it may be that they are barely keeping their heads above the water by the evil that they are practicing. Why does a fellow just out of jail go back to making meth or any other drug? It may be that he needs the money, trying to keep his head above the water. You see, this is the evil that makes him a living. And then there are those who are getting rich off the evil they are practicing. The evil is so profitable, they would never consider giving it up. I once met a man on a Caribbean island who did not have the courage to accept the challenge of hating his sin. He admitted to being a womanizer. He knew enough about the Bible that he knew fornication was sin. He told me that he was not willing to give it up. He loved sin. There are probably many people who cannot accept God's challenge to hate evil because they love the evil they do. Romans 1 and verse 30 says that there are those people who invent evil. They look for new ways to perpetrate some crime, some wickedness. It seems that there are many criminals in the world, doesn't it? They have turned themselves loose from their consciences. Christians are taught, do not be overcome by evil, Romans 12 and 21. Well, there are many who are so overcome that they do not have the courage to accept the challenge of hating evil. Secondly, I think it takes courage to follow God. The world ridicules people who speak of God, who follow the will of God. It is not politically correct anymore to bring God up. It's not even lawful anymore in some places to exercise your religious freedom. That's right. Children cannot sing Christmas carols, such as Away in the Manger, without bringing down upon them the wrath of some school board. In fact, you cannot publicly express your hatred of evil and your love of evildoers without being called a bigot. Your tolerance is called into question if you cannot tolerate evil. Your diversity is called into question if you cannot stand the evil of homosexuality. The gay community has so politicized this evil that it may soon be unlawful to speak against it without it being called and prosecuted as a hate crime. Can you believe this is happening in our country? Yes, it will eventually take an enormous amount of courage to hate evil and love the evildoers. Paul said, do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil, Romans 14, verse 16. Well, that means that we're going to have to stand up for the good and call evil what it is. And so it will take courage to follow what God calls good. And it takes courage to not allow other people to call God's good evil. 3 John 11 says, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Proverbs 16 and verse 6 says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. I think it takes courage to fear the Lord and admit it. Your iniquity cannot be forgiven without mercy, friends. Neither can your iniquity be forgiven without the truth. That's right. God mercifully forgives, but he cannot do that without truth. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ provided God with the truth that he needed. That is, the great judge of all the earth could now justly forgive. He could forgive on the basis of truth because Jesus had paid the penalty. Jesus' sacrifice allowed God to be merciful. Yes, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Friends, do you have the courage to follow God and depart from evil? Thirdly, I think it takes courage to study God's Word in order to learn new ways of behavior. It's hard to change behavior, isn't it? Especially when you are in the habit of the behavior. Well, when Christians who have come out of sin become dull of hearing, that is, no longer study God's Word, it is easy for them to backslide. That's right. The writer of the book of Hebrews dealt with this problem. He told his hearers, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 2, verse 1. In chapter 5 of the book, the writer wrote, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Well, these people were in danger of slipping back into evil, the very sins they were supposed to hate. They were in danger of slipping back into them. And why? They were not continuing in the apostles' doctrine. That's right. One of the characteristics of those who were baptized on the day of Pentecost was that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is, the apostles' teaching. Acts 2, verse 42. Well, the Christians to whom the book of Hebrews was written were no longer interested in deepening their knowledge of the oracles of God. They were still wading in the shallow water. In fact, they were in danger of getting out of the water completely. They needed to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God. The Holy Spirit said, "Anyone who lives on milk is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity." Hebrews 5:13 and following in the New International Version. Well, these brothers and sisters in Christ, they needed the courage to study the teaching about righteousness. And that takes getting out of your comfort zone. Yes, it does. They needed courage to set new priorities in their lives, to find the time that it takes and the dedication that it takes to commune with God in His Word. That's right. Are you like these Hebrews? Are you just wading in the shallow waters along the fringe? Neighbor, will you ever become teachers? You're too close to evil. You're too close to stepping back into the world. Wake up. Get busy. Get busy in your study of God's Word, His Word of righteousness. In that Word of righteousness, you will learn the difference between good and evil. You will learn to distinguish between the two, and you will be able to point out the difference to your children and to your grandchildren. Don't be content with half-hearted knowledge. Don't just listen to a Sunday sermon and not think about God's Word until the next Sunday. You need to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in addition to the breaking of bread and prayers on the Lord's Day. Your ability to hate evil and love the evildoer largely rests upon your fellowship with God's Word of righteousness. That's right. The apostle commanded, "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." I believe it will take a great amount of courage for you and me to become willing to do that. Will you do it?